After our recent talk with Public Radio's Diane Rehm, her fans lined up to ask questions, not about her 37 years at the Diane Rehm Show out of WAMU in Washington, or the neurological disorder that affects her vocal cords, or her upcoming retirement after the elections, after she hits 80 in September. No, they wanted to know about her husband's bout with Parkinson's, his move to an intensive care facility when Diane and home health aides could no longer care for him, and his decision to end his own life in 2014 because assisted suicide was illegal in Maryland. One by one, they came to the microphone.
Hi.
Hi.
Beautiful book. Very touching.
Thank you.
It's a very intimate story of you and your husband.
My husband also had Parkinson's.
I'm so sorry.
And we were assured after he fell and could no longer speak that he would recover. That his mind would come back, he would be able to speak. And after months, it was pretty clear to us he was not recovering. But you see, one of the things that doesn't exist is any help for people about how to take care of someone. We didn't know.
Our stories have some things in common. My husband, Ira, has had Parkinson's for over 13 years. I wondered if you could help me with the thing I struggle with most. Apart from the decision to die, which would be his to make, who makes what decision? Where he should live or his care?
He knew. Mm-hmm. He knew that I could not care for him. He knew the time had come.
Thank you. That's Good really luck. Helpful.
Good luck.
Thank you.
In her talk and in her new book, On My Own, Diane Rehm tells of her love story with John Rehm. We began it yesterday, up to the point where Parkinson's robbed him of any mobility or emotional will to live. He asked his doctor to end his life. The doctor said legally he couldn't. Diane picks up the story there.
And the doctor said to him, the only way is by refusing food, medication, water. And the next day when I came in, he looked wonderful. And I got on the bed with him, and he said to me, I have not had anything to drink. I have had no food. I have had no medication. And I put my arm around him, and I said, sweetheart, are you sure? And he said, absolutely. And so we continued on for the next day and a half. And that evening, he fell into a sleep. And he never said another word. There were moments when I wanted to put a little applesauce onto his lips and put some drops of water into his mouth and try to bring him back, you know, to say, sweetheart, please don't go. But I could not do that because it was his decision.
After 10 days, John died. Diane was still mourning him when she spoke out at a dinner party about his death. A Washington Post reporter was there and asked if he could interview her. In the piece, he described her as an advocate for the right to die, and the New York Times mentioned her in an editorial. But the Post piece also noted that she was a guest at fundraising dinners for the nonprofit group Compassion and Choices. They lobby for laws permitting medically assisted death, and NPR executives worried that that was crossing an ethical line. Diane agreed not to attend any more dinners, but she is a talk show host and she's allowed to express her opinions and has done that on shows on the topic, featuring critics like Dr. Ira Byock, who argues that there should be more palliative care. Atul Gawande worries that right now doctors aren't trained to aid in suicide. And she's had callers who worry it'll be abused by family members who don't want to take care of the dying or the dying who feel they're in the way. So you have this loss. And then you find yourself in the middle of this debate. Make the case, given those questions.
All right. Here is my case alone. If your faith in God is strong, and you say, I will go when God and only God takes me, I support you. If you say, I want every treatment possible, every form of palliative care possible, I support you. If, as John did, you choose to die because of unrelenting physical, emotional, psychological pain, you wish to die, I support you. What I am not arguing for is the right to die, but rather the right to choose.
And I want to add that you are a Christian, Syrian.
Absolutely.
And John was a devout lover of Christ. He
exactly.
came late in his life to baptism. Very sweet
exactly.
story.
And just to set the record straight, in Oregon, one-third of the people who've been given medications because they have met the criteria have chosen not to use them.
It was just having them that made them, knowing they had the choice, yeah.
It's the empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
how are you feeling about leaving the show that you write about it being in some ways, you know, it's painful, but in some ways freeing?
Absolutely. For the last 37 years, I have gotten up at 5 o'clock every morning. It is the bane of my existence. Really. And at age 79, I'll be 80 in September, it is time to turn that show over to a younger voice, to younger, fresher ideas, people who want to bring something new.
Would you like to make some news right now? And just...
I truly do not know, and the station does not know yet.
So, I mean, to have this platform where you get to talk to anybody you want, and they are so respectful with you. I sometimes want to say to somebody, treat me like Diane Rehm, come on. Just... let me finish my sentence. They're so respectful. It's such a window on the world. Are you frightened about this unknown that you're stepping into?
You know, it's interesting that you ask that, because I see, as many of you I'm sure know, a therapist. And I was talking a lot about death, my own, and saying, should I be in my own apartment and have a heart attack or a stroke, I will not call 911 because I just want to go. And she said to me, I wonder why you're thinking so much about death. And I said, well, because I'm going to be 80 years old. And after I left her, it finally occurred to me, I'm thinking about death because leaving this show is a part of dying. It is giving up a part of my life that has been so crucial to my whole being for 37 years. I've loved every minute of it. Now my boss is saying, maybe you'll stay on a little longer. So we'll see.
But you're right that it's because it now frees you, you can become an advocate
Absolutely.
For the Right to Die movement.
I will.
There's going to be something else.
I won't be an advocate for the right to die.
The right to choose.
I'll be an advocate for the right to choose. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And I want people to understand that, you know, don't talk to me about death panels. Don't talk to me about euthanasia. Don't talk to me about people killing other people. I am talking about the right to choose what you want. Make that known to your family. Talk to your parents. Talk to your children. Don't wait till the end. It's too late.
Well, I just want to just have said that I hope we hear your voice in some way as loud and strong as we just did for a long time.
Oh, thank you so much.